Thank you for your welcome here this morning. Charlie greeted me in the vestry before with the survey which said that Anglicans tend to preach for 5 to 10 minutes, Methodists for 15 to 20, and Baptists for an hour and 10 minutes. I am not that sort of Baptist. A very brief bit of introduction. I'm the General Secretary for the Central Baptist Association, which has churches in Buckinghamshire, Bedfordshire, Hertfordshire, Northamptonshire, 154 churches, including LEPs, including very small churches of 3 or 4 members, and 1 or 2 quite large churches of 600 or 700 members. We exist in or operate in 3 dioceses, in 3 government regions, and we have about 11,000, 12,000 members. I'm sure that will perhaps mean different things to different people. A little bit about me. It's good to be here. In one sense, at least passing traffic, I grew up in Rushton. So Bedford is not unknown territory to me. There are many good sermons on Anna, the prophetess. But this, as you understand me, is not one of them. We are going to be thinking mainly this morning of Simeon. There in the reading from Luke, we saw Mary and Joseph arriving as the ritual and their understandings expected of them, bringing the infant in. They met a man, too, who had his expectations. Expectations that were shaped by the religious understandings of the time and the stories that he had been told about the deliverance, about the consolation of his people Israel. Simeon, the man to whom God had promised something, and now he felt the promise had come true. Surely we delight in seeing that God leaves tracks and traces through our history and our cultures so that we can see where he has been. Albeit those are not always unambiguous or unseen. Rembrandt, the artist, painted a picture of Simeon and the Christ child, which hangs in the museum at Stockholm. And there we see Simeon, a very old man. We note that Luke implies that, but doesn't actually say so. Very old man whose eyes are heavy with blindness. And in his lap lays the child tightly wrapped. And there he catches for us the paradox. Insight in the sightlessness. Now we could draw upon Simeon to talk about the value of age and older people in a society which is obsessed with youth and youthfulness. We could speak of the value of wisdom and patience and experience in a culture that demands instant answers and requires instant judgment. Suffice it to say that here we enter into a moment of disclosure. When all the hope, all the expectations, all the anticipation suddenly come together. It may be that you will have had that same experience of a moment of disclosure. This is when we read it, a story of great satisfaction, a good episode. It's a story about fulfillment, the promise of the renewal of Israel, a lesson for those Gentiles to have where God will once again enlighten them to the good things. Something that we remember at Candlemas. Something that Baptists, by the way, are not very good at doing is Candlemas. It's a story with a happy end. And leads into those wonderful words that we perhaps know as the Nunc Dimittis. The cadences of pleasure and settlement and of things being rounded and coming to a good end. Maybe we have that ideal for God's dealings with us. That's what we pray for is for things to work out well. We look for God to do these things. We yearn for them to happen. And maybe sometimes that's why we commit ourselves, because this is what it's going to be like. We could say that the story carries with it a spiritual of contentment. All is well, and all manner of things shall be well. But read the story carefully, and it carries more than an edge of subversion. Israel's consolation, Israel's deliverance, will in fact come with the undoing of Simon's understandings and all his inherited images about what God is going to do with his people. The penny has dropped, but the coin will fall in an unexpected place. Maybe you have found that too. The Christ who lightens the world will in fact create a new world. As the poet T.S. Eliot put it in his Song for Simeon, here is the yet unspeaking and unspoken word where things are to be made anew. So for all of Simon's insight and spiritual imaginations and expectations fall short of the drama that will unfold, they cannot encompass what God will do in Jesus Christ. He stands a prophet to unknown territory, which he will not enter. God is not limited to past ways, but as the prophet says, is doing a new thing. Thou shalt not, says people. God says, I will. Thou cannot, say people. It shall be so, says God. And here is the root of our good news. For those who seek God, those who are only willing to look over their shoulders, will miss God who calls us on. For those who only read God in the past, will risk offering answers to questions that people are no longer asking. Although, sad to say, much of the Christian industry could be said to do this when you read books upon books upon books that try to get people to understand things that they're really not interested in. Where God goes on before. This is the world and the geography of discipleship, where men and women seek to live out the truth before God, before their neighbours, and in the face of their own successes and failures. You know the story. There are three sorts of people: those who can count and those who can't. How we are tempted to divide people into two sorts: those who are right and those who are wrong. But Christian psychology is more subtle than that. As the reformer Martin Luther put it, we are at the same time justified and sinners. It is the paradox of our existence as followers of Jesus Christ. And as Malachi speaks of the refining that God brings, the refining that comes through Jesus Christ, it is not seen in an instantaneous experience. But the refining comes in the passage of life. Oh, we know and recognize how time and time again we stumble on the same thing. We make the same mistake time and time again. And at the same time, we are able to become more Christ-like in our words and our actions and our attitudes. A Christian, as Luther said, is always in the making. It's neither all horns nor all halos, but the spaces between is where God's life with us becomes real in our moments and our days, in our worries and our hopes, in our satisfactions and our tragedies. Even if they don't always have happy endings or a purr of contentment. Now, it may be Candlemas next week, officially. In America, it will officially be Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day is when people go out and look for little fairy animals to come out of their holes, and if they do, they know that spring is on the way. Some of you may know there's a film called Groundhog Day. You may have seen it. It came out about 20 years ago. And the film is about a reporter, a self-centred, arrogant, unreflective, somewhat lecherous man who is sent out to cover Groundhog Day in one of the villages. And the conceit of the film is that, having established himself as being arrogant and boorish, he wakes up the next day and finds the day has begun exactly the same. And the next, and the next. And he wakes up and every day is the same day. It's Groundhog Day every day he wakes up. He is astonished. He is outraged. He is horrified. And then he begins to take advantage of the situation. He does whatever he likes because each day begins the same, no matter what the day before has run. There's no sense of responsibility, no sense of accountability, no sense of any continuity. And he does all sorts of things with all sorts of people. But as the film moves on, he finds everything that he does rather empty. Even the attempted seduction of his production manager. As the film goes on, he begins to be judged by his own shallowness. And he begins to change. And each day may begin again, but he becomes a different person. Until at the end of the story, I won't give it away. I can see it. As Christians, we are called to be God-bearers, to share the light of Jesus Christ in a world of sun and shadows. We're there to enjoy being the people of God together and with God, to celebrate the good times and the contentment and the satisfaction that is there in Christian discipleship. But we are also there to stand in the dark places of the world where there is tragedy and ignorance and injustice, as Malachi indicated, and to stand there with love and in hope, for God is doing a new thing. To stand there with love and in hope, and offering ourselves in the old saying that it is better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen.